Hey, Patrick Kane, we've seen him. He's been a great player for a long time. He's carrying that team offensively with a lot of rookie centers. And then they got the Lankinen in goal. And early on, I think the Blackhawks have overachieved, to be fair.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, going into this year, we thought they would potentially be vying with Detroit for the potential number one overall pick. And now, after yesterday's win, you know, you've refreshed the standings, and even you can go by points percentage as well. And they're the Blackhawks in the number four spot of the Central Division, and they're doing it without Jonathan Toews. They're doing it without Kirby Dach. Right now, they're doing it without Connor Murphy, is one of the most dependable defensemen on the Blackhawks. So it's been remarkable what they've been able to do. Only two regulation losses in 14 games.
All right, I'll be Debbie Downer. Is this privately, do you believe that the organization is actually happy with what they're seeing?
I do think so. I think they're happier. I think the players are probably happier knowing that they're doing this without Jonathan Toews. They're doing it without Kirby Dach. They're doing it without Andrew Shaw and Connor Murphy. Like, if you're a player in the locker room, maybe if you're a Patrick Kane or a Duncan Keith, and you're like, man, like, we still got a couple years of this rebuild, and like, I'm sure they thought they were going to be on the upswing, but now you look at their recent success, and they potentially found their number one goaltender of the future in Kevin Lankinen, and they have all these young guys that are stepping up into larger roles. If you're Kane or Duncan Keith, you're probably thinking, okay, like, if we get Jonathan back, if we get Kirby back next year, we get Nylander back, we start getting these bodies back, and we get healthy. Like, yeah, like, maybe they are excited about the future, but I think on the flip side, if you're you know, obviously a Blackhawks fan, you're probably thinking, okay, maybe we get a top pick this year, and maybe we can go into next year with getting healthy. And so I see the flip side, but I think what the Blackhawks are trying to do and they're happy about is establishing a winning culture and a win at all cost mentality. Like, it could be so easy for them to, you know, have excuses about all the guys that are not in the lineup, and yet they continue to find ways to pick up points. And I think that's what they're hanging their hat on right now.
Well, the one thing the Blackhawks have done well is that they find these European players in their mid-20s to come in, and all of a sudden, you know what, they're pretty productive. Tell us about Suter, and what did you know about him prior to this season? You know, he's a rookie, but he's a middle-aged rookie, I guess we'll call it, by NHL standards. But so far, he's been really good, at least statistically.
Yeah, he's obviously eligible for the Calder Trophy. Obviously, of course, his age. But I think when we first heard about him, we're like, okay, here's a guy that won the Swiss League MVP, scored 30 goals last year. And then you kind of look at who the Blackhawks had acquired the prior year, and it was Dominik Kubalík. And you're like, wait a second, this guy won the Swiss League MVP after scoring 30 goals. Like, can he be the next Dominik Kubalík? And maybe the Blackhawks have two of those guys. And I will say they obviously put up the same offensive production in the Swiss League when they won those MVPs, but they're very different players. Like, Pia Suter scores a lot of his goals in the greasy areas and in the high danger areas, whereas Dominik Kubalík, he has a lethal shot, and he'll score him from afar. He'll tee it up from that faceoff circle, and he's been scoring on the power play a bunch this year. And so last year, Kubalík was really good at even strength. Like, 26 of his 30 goals came at even strength, and he was probably considered a power play specialist. And so we're seeing that production now. But with Pia Suter, like, he's still going through some growing pains. Like, the Blackhawks have been toying around with him at center. Like, they moved him to wing a little bit, so that they're trying to figure out where he fits into the puzzle. But yeah, he's been productive, and when he has been productive, he's been, you know, he's contributing to these overtime. Like, he assisted on the overtime winner last night, he scored an overtime winner a few games ago, and then he had a hat trick. So, like, when he does have productive games, he's very noticeable.
I was hoping the Oilers would sign Matthias Janmark in the offseason. I think he's a really productive player, and he's not disappointing this year. Where and how is he fitting in for this Blackhawks team?
Yeah, maybe in years past, we even talked with him yesterday, and he was like, I signed with Chicago because I felt like I wanted to get back to my roots of playing with the puck and playing a possession style of game. Whereas I don't know if that necessarily in years prior with the Dallas Stars, where they're very defensive minded, and he was playing more of a bottom six role on the penalty kill, like, he wasn't getting that offensive, those offensive roles in Chicago. He, for a majority of the season, he's been on the first line with Patrick Kane, and he's getting second power play time. He's playing on the penalty kill as well, but he's getting those offensive opportunities, and he's cashing in on those. So I think it's cool. Like, I don't think he necessarily signed with Chicago because he identified the Blackhawks as a team that's, you know, like a potential contender. I think he's more like, let me go to Chicago, let me prove what who I could be as a player and get back to my roots. And that's exactly what we're seeing.
Charlie, when I look at all the numbers, like their 5-on-5 numbers in Chicago aren't great, right? Like their special teams is really winning them a lot of hockey games. So is this a little bit of a smoke screen when you look at this? That because their power play is crushing it right now at like 32.3%. Their penalty kill is very competitive at over 81%. So now, hey, you can get by and have special teams all year long, but is that the one concern here that at 5-on-5, this team is getting crushed in shot attempts and goals? For I think they were like -9 at 5-on-5. Is that a big concern?
Yep, I think that's the one concern going forward. Is what if the power play dries up? Like, what if the goaltending comes back down to earth a little bit? Like, can the 5-on-5 scoring be there? And right now, it hasn't been. And you look at their 5-on-5 shooting percentage, like it's towards the bottom of the league. And so I wrestle with it too, though, because they have a really good save percentage. They have a low 5-on-5 shooting percentage, and so like. I'm waiting for a market correction, like maybe if the goaltending comes back down to earth, but maybe if the goaltending comes back down to earth, then the 5-on-5 scoring will even it out. So I don't know how to answer that question, but I do think if the Blackhawks start to struggle, you're going to see it's because of the power play that's going to cool off, not the goaltending, because I think the goaltending has been spectacular this year.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, if I had a dollar for every time a guy out of Finland came out with the name Kevin, I'd have a dollar because I don't know anyone else. So this guy, where did they find him? And what kind of style does he have that is really seems to be, you know, I read some comments by his teammates. They really like him. He's very poised in the net.
Yeah, it's really funny because going into the year, obviously it was a little controversial that it's like the Blackhawks don't re-sign Corey Crawford. And even actually, let's back rewind a year ago. They sign Robin Lehner, and they have this dynamic goaltending duo with Lehner and Crawford. And you're thinking at the time, all right, one of these guys is going to be the goaltender of the future. And then you go into this season, and neither of them are the starting goaltender of the Blackhawks. And I think when we went into the year, we're like, okay, this is probably Colin Delia's job and Malcolm Subban's job to compete for the number one starting role. And the Blackhawks all along said this is going to be a season-long competition, and it's going to be between three guys, Lankinen, Subban and Delia. And we're like, oh, okay, like Lankinen, he doesn't have an NHL start under his belt, so I don't necessarily think he's going to be a front runner to land the job. But that's exactly what's happened. And I think the one tournament that we really were able to get a glimpse of him was at the Worlds. And like, he was terrific when he backstopped Finland to a gold medal. And some people are kind of getting it confused. They thought it was the World Juniors. Like, no, that's the Worlds where like professional guys were playing. And so that was his first, real test of like, okay, this guy has potential to be a number one starter, but now we're seeing it. I don't know if his game necessarily translated at the AHL level because it's a less structured league. Now we're seeing more structure here at the NHL level, and he's very well positioned. He's a poised individual, and he's got the confidence to go with it.
Well, Charlie, we'll be interested to see, and I guess I want to get back to Patrick Kane. Like, if we go on the wording of the Hart Trophy, most valuable to his team, when you look at Drysdale and McDavid, and you've got Matthews and Marner, and, you know, those guys are getting a lot of talk. What Patrick Kane's doing in Chicago with, you know, without a real number one center, to me, is amazing. He's up there and scoring once again. If Chicago's able to stay this way all year long, he's got to get serious consideration for his second Hart.
Yeah, for sure. And I do think another player that I want to throw out there is Alex DeBrincat. Like, I know that the offense has really come alive this year, but boy, oh boy, like, he looks like a different player in every facet, in the offensive zone and the defensive zone. Like, watch a Blackhawks game. The next Blackhawks game you watch, just watch this guy. He's going to go into a corner. He's probably not going to be the first guy in the corner, but he's going to come away with the puck somehow, and he's the smallest guy on the ice. So Patrick Kane and DeBrincat, they've been terrific this year. But it's funny about Patrick Kane, too, is, like, there are games where I'm watching the Blackhawks and I'm like, man, like, I didn't really notice Kane a lot. Like, this wasn't probably his best game. And then you look at the score sheet and he's like, oh, he had 2 points. Like, he still somehow found a way to get on the score sheet, and even when he's not at his best. So I think that just tells that just says a lot about Patrick Kane. Like, even when he's not at his best, he's still finding ways to produce and produce for his team.
Now, you know, obviously it's a difficult time when your captain just kind of steps away from the team. Is there been any update or maybe whispers about how Jonathan Toews is feeling or progressing at all?
Yeah, so there were some scary rumors going around on social media a couple weeks ago, and I'm still getting direct messages from fans saying, I heard this about Taze. Can you confirm? And I think we had Stan Bowman on our podcast last week, and he basically dispelled all the rumors that were going out there and say, we're not withholding any information. Like, we're not sitting on information that we don't want anyone to know. And so I think that was encouraging too. And Alex DeBrincat also, last week he was on NHL Network doing a TV hit, and he was saying, like, we can't wait to get Jonathan back. And so the fact that they're talking in those terms makes it seem like
okay. They're
eventually expecting Jonathan to return. It's just a matter of when.
Charlie, really appreciate the rundown, my man. Thanks for this. Enjoy the next few weeks. We'll talk again soon.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys.